Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Can I tell you about the business of art? What comes to mind? I'm hoping it's more than just viewing and going to galleries to witness one of the many, many masterpieces that are typically designed, created and curated by artists in South Africa, but also an understanding of the fact that it's a great contributor to wealth. Wealth that can be inspired and contributed to the artist's creativity themselves, but also to an industry, to the economy at large. And tonight I want to tell you that there's a phenomenal record that has been broken globally. And this is with regard to one of the highest selling paintings that we've witnessed in a while. South African artist Marilyn Dumas has shattered the records globally as a living female artist with a painting that was sold for more than 230 million rand. Let that sink in. To tell us more about this, though, we're going to take a look and have a conversation with the CEO of Aspire Art, Marilise van Sail, who's going to give us some insight into these dynamics. Marilise, welcome to the show and thank you so much for your time.
Hi, good evening, and thank you so much for inviting me.
I'm so excited to speak to you tonight, and I'm actually on your platform and website and see the amazing work that you actually do for many artists, selling art, buying art at an auction, some insights into a few highlights, and of course even assisting artists in getting their work out there through the various curated exhibitions that you have. Maybe let's just touch on that, because what you do in itself is a whole business model within the art environment.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So, as you mentioned, we're Aspire Art. We are essentially an art auction house, but also a consultancy and advisory. And we opened our doors in 2016, focusing specifically on fresh, contemporary South African and African art. Now, art auction houses have a long history, not only in South Africa, but also broader Europe and in America. And there was always this kind of a feeling that they're kind of old and stuffy and, you know, just for older people and maybe older, wealthier people. And we were a bunch of young people who just love art, who just love this country and this continent. And we thought, you know, let's just turn it around a little bit and let's create something fresh. Mm-hmm. And that's where we stepped into the mix. And so we focus primarily, as I mentioned, on contemporary African and South African art. Then we also looked at the pioneering works of the Black modernists. Women in art is quite an important focus for us, photography. And then we'll also look at the 20th century avant-garde. So our offering is slightly different than other auction houses. We cater to a younger generation of collectors, a new generation of collectors, and specifically, yes, South African generation, but with the art that we represent is also to build value internationally. And we work with quite a number of international institutions and collections, really bringing the work out there and placing it in prominent museums and buildings.
I think this is so critical, right? Because you really are that touch point to make sure that artists have their work showcased and that we as art admirers and lovers also have an opportunity to tap into this beautiful asset class from an investment point of view, but also just an appreciation for what art does invoke in us in terms of emotion. Speaking of emotion, money is also an emotion. And I say that because Marilyn Dumas, legendary artist in South Africa, 71 years of age, well-known and highly regarded, is a woman who has broken records in terms of her latest artwork and its selling price. Give us some context and tell us more as to how this was done, specifically around a piece of work titled Miss World.
Certainly. So Marilyn Dumas, yes, she's very well known, and with her contemporary William Kentridge, they have been topping the charge as some of the highest ranking artists from South Africa and Africa internationally, or highly collectible and influential artists. So Miss January, as we've known, sold last week in New York for an incredible amount, well over 240 million. Sure. And even look at this work, first of all, it is huge. It is quite provocative because at 2.8 meters in height and I think it's 1 meter in width, it really does make a statement. It's a figurative study. It's a figure of a female, scantily dressed. Like I mentioned, it is quite provocative. It explores this fine line between revealing and concealing. But what makes this work so successful is that it makes you stop and look at it and think. And what is very interesting about this work, so it was first exhibited in Amsterdam at a gallery there at the time. It was Galerie Paul Andriessen in Amsterdam for her solo exhibition titled Miss World in 1998. But when she was a young girl at age 10, so about 30 years prior to when she painted this particular work, she made a drawing which she titled Miss World, in Afrikaans beautifully titled Mevrou Wêreld, where she kind of illustrated almost in a cartoonish style 10 models, you know, what would be the perfect female body for a competition like this. And many years later, she does paint the figure. She represents the female gaze, actually challenging the male gaze. And this particular work is based on a Playboy image. And but she paints this woman quite vulnerable and detached. And for me, she flips the script there. She gives a critique on the objectification of women's bodies in media and in art. And she actually, it's quite a challenging portrait. So she's a woman artist painting women, but quite confrontational. And, you know, she re-represents that woman or how women has been seen.
100%. You're quite right. Yes. It does give you something to think about. And I think wonderful within the age and the shift of, you know, how gender parity is viewed, women's bodies, women's rights, and even the frustrations around the objectification of women in that particular manner. But what's so intriguing about the art world is this particular painting, if I'm not mistaken, was actually painted well over a few years ago, 30 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. And now it's actually been sold for well over 230 million rand. Help us contextualize, you know, how value, monetary transactions or exchange for an artist's work shifts, or I guess, how do you determine the value of an art piece, essentially is the question I'm asking, especially given that this is work that has really grown and evolved from her hands over the last few years or decades.
Yes, so this is quite an important work in her oeuvre. And also the provenance of this work is also what added to the value. The work comes from the Rubel family collection. They are a well-known couple who started collecting in the 1960s. So they first bought this work in Amsterdam. And then since 1998, it has been in major museum exhibitions in Europe. And between 1998 and 2000, and then the painting went back to the States, where it also was exhibited in quite a number of exhibitions. Also, if you look at the literature provenance of this work, it has been written about extensively, and that's always a value indicator. So Marlene Dumas specializes in themes about gender studies, the body politic, identity, womanhood, and so forth. So any academic or serious texts about these themes have used this work as an example to illustrate contemporary painting and contemporary critique of these themes. And that is what made this work so incredibly valuable. And then also, again, the sheer size, if we want to go back to basics, it's quite a big painting. So that is the components of value. You always look at the artist, then what was created, the theme, the date of creation, and then also the provenance, the history, basically the social history of this work.
I'm keen to understand, for many artists who might be listening, you know, how do we get to a point where we essentially stimulate a heightened level for the appreciation of art? And I'm aware there's artists who play in different fields, in different areas, using different materials, sharing different stories through their work. But how do we ensure that there's, I guess, a greater appreciation for the value of artwork so that many more pieces like this and others can be sold for as great or even more value?
So you've mentioned earlier Marlene is 71 years old. So that is a long time of consistent working and hard work and really a commitment to your career. This hasn't happened overnight. So first of all, I think for artists, it should be to just stick to it. Work hard, say what you have to say. What made Marlene also very successful is her new and innovative way of painting, her approach to subject matter. That's always very important for artists. And also what makes contemporary art so interesting as well is the innovation in techniques. We see a lot of new ways of making art. And so consistency, especially in the art world, is very important. I always say to collectors in particular is, what you need to have in art is time. It takes time and patience.
Definitely. Time and patience to make sure that we get there. And of course, many more artists being celebrated in this particular way right across the global spectrum. And maybe that's also another theme to actually discuss here, Marlies, is there a heightened a level of appreciation for South African art or South African artists? Because this can also mean different things. Marlene herself is actually based in the Netherlands, if I'm not mistaken, despite having her roots proudly here in South Africa. But the appreciation for South African art versus South African artists, what does that look like?
Yes, absolutely. About 10 years ago, or actually more than 10 years ago, let's say 20 years ago, especially after 1994, when we opened up to the world, there was huge interest in what it is that our country produces. And if we look at international art fairs, we look at international exhibitions, a lot of our contemporary artists are included in these exhibitions. There is a spotlight on contemporary South African and African art. If we look at the Biennales as well, there's currently an exhibition on in France at the Pompidou Center, where Gerard Sokoto is on the cover. So these things are amazing. The world is opening up. There is a focus on our industry, also because we're still an emerging market. So there are a lot of investment opportunities. That's where we will see much later on. We can anticipate more records on auction internationally and locally. And so there's definitely this interest. What this specific record also represents with regards to women painters, for me, when I looked at it, it's not only a record-breaking sale. It was also a cultural shift. It shows that female voices or perspectives are valuable. It is powerful. It reaffirms the global recognition of women artists, firstly. It also helps correct historical imbalances in the art market, not only for women, but then also for South African artists. That's where I want to mention where for our country, it highlights our ability to produce artists of international stature, and also naturally inspires greater investment in our region's pool of female talent. So this result will definitely trickle back to our country. A lot of tourists, we depend on cultural tourism. I anticipate a lot of tourists coming into the country would want to now really go to our museums and see what is it that this country's artists are doing. And that is absolutely fantastic.
100%. I'm so excited about this because it really does speak to, an industry and a business sector that many of us are not so familiar with. We do have a voice note in a moment that we'll take from one of our listeners, Simpiwe, who is commenting on the business of art and just the phenomenal value that Marlene Dumas' piecework has gone for. A reminder, 230 million rand. Man. That's the kind of money where you wake up and you're like, well, what do I do today? But before we get there, Marlies, as you've mentioned, there's a growing appreciation for artwork. I'm also keen to understand how other sectors of the business side of art also needs to be developed. Because if you're buying a piece for this much money, it surely needs insurance. The artist themselves needs, you know, some kind of financial guidance, education, making sure that their money does extend beyond their years. And that there's also a great appreciation for the ongoing and appreciating value of art. So are we finding that from a South African point of view, the ecosystem is ripe for growth, or are there new interventions that need to be introduced?
So you use the beautiful word that I wanted to use, is this art ecosystem. And within our industry, we're quite fond of that work. It is a niche industry, but nonetheless, it is still an industry, and it supports a lot of role players, not only the artists, but everyone surrounding an artwork or the business of art. We look at our logistics companies, we look at our installers, our handlers, we look at, insurance, it's definitely a growing industry. There are space for improvements. Mm-hmm. One thing that's quite important, and we at Aspire have championed it, is artist resale rights. It is not law in our country. So unfortunately, you know, with the resale of artist works, they will not be financially compensated, only the owner. But it is, for instance, law in Europe and some American states. We have that program currently where we pay out of our own commission if artists are signed up to our royalties program, where we will compensate them. It's a small percentage, but it's a token of appreciation. Mm. Yes, insurance is still a way to go. I think also many artists do need some financial advice and some steering, and especially to prepare for, you know, their older days. But it's a magnificent industry. It is close-knit. Like I mentioned, it is niche, but a lot of people make a living out of this industry.
100%. And we need to ensure that we continue to support them, because it's a sector that I think doesn't get as much attention and focus as it should. But that's why we're here, to make sure that many more banks and corporates who have already shown their support continue to do so. And that we also stimulate art galleries and institutions like yourselves as platforms, as Aspire Art. Marlies, we've had so much fun with this conversation, but it's not limited to you and I. We have a voice note from one of our listeners, Simpiwe, who has a comment. Let's take a listen.
Okay. It's a good month for artists, because Nelson Makamo also designed a trophy for the Betway for PSL. Yes. So, yeah, it's a good month for artists. And Swizz Beatz and Alicia Keys are always collecting art from South African artists. So we need the focus, and we need to keep going.
100%. That's from Simpiwe Sibusiso Duma, who himself is actually an artist, I must tell you. He's actually painted beautiful pieces of some of our colleagues here in the building. So Simpiwe Sibusiso Duma, thank you. I see you, and shout out to you. I appreciate that you've sent through a voice note after asking where you are. And I think that's a beautiful note for us to leave it on, Marlies. And maybe you can share just, you know, your closing thoughts on how we need to continue to amplify the work of South African artists, from the Nelson Makamos to Marlene Dumas, to many others who exist in the ecosystem, even the Simpiwes of this world. How do we elevate their work and make sure that it's appreciated, but also adequately valued, even financially?
So just before I joined our conversation, I've read a very beautiful quote, and it said that we must support living artists and current artists, because that's your investment in the future of art history. And I thought that was so beautiful. Our art history is extremely rich. This is what's going to continue for generations. And if collectors and corporates and businesses, if they invest now, it's not only in the livelihood of a living artist or a contemporary artist, but also in the future of our history and our art history. And that's actually, for everyone who works in this industry, that gets me up in the morning, is to know that I'm contributing to something greater, to something bigger, that you know, everything that I do is does have an impact. And that is absolutely fantastic to know.
100%. Marlies, thank you so much for your time this evening, ma'am. Truly, truly appreciate it. Myself and many others will be spending some more time on your website and maybe perusing what we could.
Yes. Yes. We are in Joburg now in June, so make sure to follow our socials and go onto our website. We do have an auction the 25th of June, so we would welcome anyone who wants to come and view and just wants to come and talk to us about art.
100%. And what about independent artists like Simpiwe Sibusiso Duma and many others who might be listening and just want to have an opportunity to share their work? Would that be something that you're open to as well?
Yes, absolutely. We do have private selling exhibitions, and if we can do special projects, we're always open to that. And sometimes just the conversation to nudge someone in the right direction is always helpful.
100%. Thank you so much for your time, Marlies. This has been fun.
Thank you so much. Pleasure.
Thank you. Marlies van Sail, the CEO of Aspire Art. If you are an artist and looking for some help or some guidelines or just, you know, some feedback on how to head into the right direction, do visit their website, aspireart.net. So that's for the artists who are in the room. Simpiwe Sibusiso Duma. Ah, I see your WhatsApp. Utingiyabonga Gugs. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. And of course, the feedback that you gave us.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.